At 1:07 this afternoon, Travis Reinking was taken into custody in a wooded area near here by members of the police department's Specialized Investigations Division's Narcotics Unit. From his apprehension, he was taken to the South Precinct, where he immediately requested a lawyer and refused to make a statement. Reinking has been taken to General Hospital to be checked out, and then will be taken to the Nashville jail, where he will be booked on 4 counts of criminal homicide. Again, the apprehension team consisted of members from the Police Department's Specialized Investigations Division's Narcotics Unit. Almost all of those persons are undercover. Their supervisor is Lieutenant Carlos Lara. Lieutenant Lara was there at the apprehension scene. He'll describe to you what happened. After Lieutenant Lara speaks, we'll hear from Mayor David Briley and Chief Anderson, and then take your questions after everyone has spoken. Lieutenant Lara.
Good afternoon. I want to start off by saying great job by everyone, all the different units and agencies that assisted. So this all began today. We had our units, narcotics unit, was working, doing finding any or investigating any calls on suspected identification of this person. Dispatchers Megan Barr and Christy Simmons from ECC were contacting me directly, and our team was in charge of looking and investigating any of these sightings. During one of the calls, we had a call for at 5000 Mountain Springs Drive. And what the call was, there was a person who was matching the description of the suspect who went was going through a construction site right behind the apartment complex and into the wooded area. Our detectives, all three of our units, narcotics section, the narcotics unit, the interdiction unit, and the major case task force all responded to the scene. When they got to the scene, there were several workers from the TVA, construction workers on the TVA, that were pointing us, saying the person went through the woods. The detectives then all, as well as the sergeants, all went up to the wooded area and saw a pathway in the woods. They started to walk the path, and as they went through the wooded area, they spread out, and some went one direction, some went the other. As they're walking through the woods, one of our detectives, Kyle Williams, noticed a person, a suspect, in front of him. As he was walking forward, the suspect turned around, and Detective Williams saw his face and realized that is the suspect we were looking for. At that point, Detective Williams drew down on the suspect. The suspect proned out. He told him to get on the ground. He got on the ground immediately, proned himself out. Other detectives came and assisted, put him into custody, and put him in cuffs. At that point, detectives went and cut off. He had a backpack on. The description that we had received was a maroon shirt, dark jeans, and a backpack, which is exactly what he had on. He had a maroon shirt, dark jeans, and a backpack. Once he was in custody, the detectives went, cut off the backpack off of him because he was in cuffs. When they looked into the backpack, they saw a silver Kimber semi-automatic weapon with 45 caliber ammunition, a flashlight, and a holster on his person. During the search incident to arrest, they looked in his back pocket, and in his back pocket he had a wallet, and in that wallet he had a Colorado ID that had his information on there, and which is how we were able to identify him.
Thanks, Carlos.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor David Briley.
Good afternoon. First, I'd like to say thanks to the community, to the citizens of Nashville. A tip from the community is what led to the arrest today, and their being vigilant was really an important part of what happened today. I'd like to thank the Metropolitan Police Department and Chief Anderson for all their work over the last 36 hours. They've been relentless in searching for the shooter, and the conditions have been quite bad for the last 36 hours, so it was tough work, and I want to thank them personally on behalf of all of the citizens of Nashville for everything that they did. Yesterday was a horrible day for the city of Nashville. It brought home a real tragedy to this community. Today is a day where we can start to move on as a community, I hope. But I hope everybody will share a commitment that I have to help the families who've lost their loved ones and who are still suffering in the hospital right now. We're going to have to gather around them and help lift them up over the coming weeks. Obviously, a tragedy put an end to part of it today, and we need to move on as a community and do what we can to curb this violence in the future.
Chief Steve Anderson.
Certainly this apprehension was the result of teamwork throughout the Metropolitan National Police Department. Almost all of our components were involved. The SWAT team, K-9 flight, on and on. We had the majority of our detectives out here in undercover cars. And certainly it's a teamwork effort in terms of our support from our federal and state partners. Department of Homeland Safety and Homeland Security had a team of state troopers out here. The FBI had an enormous amount of resources. They had actually started several teams from Washington to assist us in this search. The ATF and the Secret Service likewise. And it's a community effort. This would not have been accomplished without the cooperation of the community, and it was the citizens' tip that led to this apprehension, and the businesses that have supported us bringing food out here to feed the officers who were out there in the rain, the cold, and the dark. So I applaud everybody that's been involved, and again, it was a team effort that made this possible.
Lieutenant, Mr. Gavin, or Commissioner Perkey, Matt. Assistant Special Agent in Charge, Matt Espenshade from the FBI.
Espenshade. I'd just like to thank all the entities involved for this. It was great teamwork in coming together. I'm glad we came to a quick resolution. I'd just like to thank the community as well, because there's a challenge that we still have in front of us, and that is to not forget the victims. We take very seriously our victim witness services, so those will really come into effect at this point, providing counseling services to those who were hurt and to the families who live on. So thank you for your time.
David Perkey, Commissioner of Safety and Homeland Security for the state of Tennessee. I was telling the chief just before we walked up here, justice is relentless when it involves the partnerships that we have on the federal, state, and local level, especially when it's working with the citizens. And as a former mayor myself for many years, I understand what it takes for justice to prevail. And you have seen that happen today. So congratulations to all of our partners. The Department of Safety and Homeland Security was glad to be one of those. But this is a good day. Thank you.
Special Agent in Charge from the ATF.
Good afternoon. Yesterday was a very tragic day in this community. Our law enforcement partners came together. We were determined to be relentless to bring this young man to justice. We worked very well together, and today is a day that we can begin to heal as a community. Thank you for your support.
Questions, please say who you want to ask the question of.
Mark Strassman, CBS News. Lieutenant, can I grab you a second? Let's go back to the moment of capture, if we can, for a second. So, what was his demeanor? Did he have anything to say? Did he resist arrest?
I wasn't actually not at the location. I was getting information relayed. There was a little bit of miscommunication at one point, but from what I understand, as soon as the detective saw him, there was really no communication other than him, you know, the detective drawing down on him, and he got on the ground and proned out and was taken into custody.
Did not try to resist?
Not at all. Not that I know of, sir.
Did he make any statement, Lieutenant?
Not that I know of, sir.
Did he show any remorse?
At this point, I wasn't there, so I can't say, but I have not received any news that or any word that he made any statements at all.
That location is about two miles away from here, would you say? Do you have any idea how he spent the last 36 hours? Was it in those woods?
Again, a lot of that information is information I can't answer because we don't know. We believe that he's possibly stayed in that same area. But again, 5000 Mountain Springs is not far from here. It's behind where he lived. So who knows? We won't know until the investigation continues.
The 45 found in his backpack.
He was clearly able to get some material, was he not? He was able to get the backpack. He was able to get his gun. He was able to get his shirt.
Yes, when he was caught, he did have a maroon shirt, dark jeans, and a black backpack with, again, a silver Kimbrel semi-automatic weapon, flashlight, a holster, and some 45 cal ammunition, and that's all we have at this point.
Now, originally, there was two that were reported missing. One of them was found on him. Where was that fourth?
I'm sorry.
So, originally, there were two guns that were reported missing yesterday. Mm-hmm.
have no idea where that fourth gun is located. I know that the one, the silver Kimbrel, which was missing, was on his person. Any other weapons, I'm not the person who would have that information.
The 45 that was found in his backpack, loaded?
Yes, sir.
So a reminder of the continuing threat that he posed?
Yes, sir.
How much time passed from the call that came out from the community member of the construction site to when he was actually...
I would say as soon as the dispatcher, I wasn't sure if it was Megan Barr, Christy Simmons, contacted me directly by phone, we got the information, and then our detectives were actually assisting on another location that they were searching. We pulled them just due to the fact that this location was behind Cane Ridge Elementary School. We wanted to make sure that it was a priority. We pulled some of those detectives, our three of our sergeants and all of our units went to that location. And at that point, I would say probably about 10 minutes tops between the time that we received it and the time that the guys were dispatched out there.
Ariel Rush from ABC News. Can we speak to the FBI?
Matt.
Yes, ma'am.
Sir, how concerned are you that Travis Reinking was able to slip through the cracks?
Are you staying from the time yesterday of the shooting until now, or?
How concerned are you that Travis Reinking has a past mental health history and he also has had many run-ins with law enforcement, including the Secret Service? The FBI is aware of him. How concerned are you that he slipped through the cracks?
Okay. I can tell you from our perspective, after the incident at the White House and the assessment that happened in the Springfield office, that every federal resource was brought to bear and that we were able to effectively neutralize what we felt was the threat at the time by ensuring that he did not have the ability to purchase our own weapons and that those weapons were taken.
How was he able to get that gun back?
That I would have to refer you to the Illinois State Police or the Sheriff's Office there in Illinois.
Are you looking into any connection he might have had with Sovereign Citizen?
We are investigating all of the possibilities to any group, so right now we have no information to provide on that.
Should his father have given him back those weapons?
I can't make that assessment. Obviously, it's a very tragic thing. He was not able to possess or own those weapons, so on its face, yes.
Has his father given a reason for why his weapons were given back?
I haven't heard that.
Are there any gun laws that the father may have violated by giving his son the weapons?
I would refer that over to ATF.
All right, Mr. ATF. So happens you're right there, man. I appreciate you being here. So is it possible that his father could be subject to gun laws? Could his father have violated gun laws by giving his son the weapons?
It is possible if you transfer weapons knowingly to a person that is prohibited, so that could potentially be a violation of federal law.
As far as you know, for your agency, has the father told you, or do you know why stated reason for giving him back?
I can't speak to that at this point.
Is he under investigation?
All federal partners are looking at him for any potential violations of federal firearm laws or obviously the homicide he committed.
So he could face charges.
He potentially could.
But
yes,
Ryan King, was he supposed to have guns here in Tennessee? State law is obviously different, but even though his guns were taken away in Illinois, should he have had weapons in Tennessee?
He should not have had weapons, correct.
In Tennessee?
In Tennessee.
So he was legally stripped of his ability to purchase or possess weapons?
Well, that actually goes back to the FBI. They control the NICS system, not ATF.
Okay.
Lieutenant Laura, if I could ask you a question.
Lieutenant who?
Yes, sir.
Give us an idea of how this man was able to survive and escape your dragon. What do you think that he was able to do?
I have to say that I don't know. We don't have that information. I wasn't involved in a lot of the planning and a lot of the search. I had a specific job, and Arden Unit had a specific job. So there's a lot of things that we have to take into account that I don't know of. So all I know is that when we caught him, he was at 5000 Mountain Springs in that area. There's a good chance he'd been there for since this occurred, but that's information I just can't give you. I was not able to be over there, but he looked like, again, he looked like he was tired from what I was told.
What did he give up?
That specific area in those woods, I don't believe, at least during the time that I was working and our guys were there, we didn't check that area that I know of. I know that today was the first time we actually had that call to that wooded area behind that construction site behind 5000 Mountain Springs.
But that's where he lived, right?
Is there anything else that you're looking for? Any, like, for that fourth phantom gun or anything else that you guys are looking for?
You'd probably want to refer to the other investigators involved. That's something that I was involved in, so.
You said that you didn't necessarily canvass the area where he was apprehended, but that is the area right behind his apartment complex. That gives some concern to the residents there.
I did not personally. I know that there was several other units that were involved. I was not personally, and none of my unit was involved in that canvassing that I know of. I know that there was several units and agencies that were involved assisting. They absolutely. I know that at one point we were hearing that just about every apartment complex out here was doors being knocked on and areas were being searched. But I know that, again, that area, when this tip came in, as soon as it came in, we responded to make sure that we were able to verify if the tip was accurate or not.
Are you-